It's Triple M
Breakfast with Tammy and JB.
Tammy, I'm almost there. I'm almost with you. Becoming a marriage celebrant. It's happening.
I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
I really am. I'm proud that you're blitzing through it. You're so dedicated. And I'm also really relieved because I'm just going to be flipping off inquiries to you left, right, and centre, my friend.
That sounds good to me. I'm hoping to be a bit of a relaxed celebrant to make it a bit of a fun ceremony. That's my goal because the amount of work that goes into actually doing this course, I underestimated it. So I just handed in my latest piece of assessment. It was one written thing, 12,000 words. I've never done that much in my life. Never in my life.
That's more than schoolwork.
It is ridiculous.
12,000 wasn't like that when I had to do it.
Oh, mate, she's hectic. But anyway, what I've been doing recently is in my course, I've got to type up like a wedding ceremony. So for anyone that's been married, what the celebrant does is they'll type up a wedding ceremony and they'll talk to you and try and get all like the personal touches to make sure it's meaningful to you. And so at the moment in my course, what I need to do is type a wedding ceremony, and they give me a case study, so like a made up couple story. And so, how's this? This is the case study I need to do it on. The groom's mother lives close to you. She's rung asking you to help arrange a ceremony for her son and daughter in law. The couple live in Sydney, and you live in another city. During the conversation, you learn the bride is terminally ill. The couple are hoping to marry in Brisbane in 3 weeks' time at Botanic Gardens. A shortening of time has been granted. So you're dealing with a situation. So this is a fake made-up situation, but obviously pretty tricky one when you're going in and doing your sort of studies. And so I'm taking it seriously. I'm doing all the right things. And in it, I had to write wedding vows as if it was written from the couple. And I'm writing the wedding vows as in the position of the husband, and I'm starting to type it. And it's just when, like, because she's terminally ill in the fake story. And I'm typing this thing. I'm starting to get myself all emotional. I'm writing these glorious words and I'm getting deep into it and I'm getting all carried away. And I finished it and was like on the cusp of shedding a tear. And so I had a look at it and went, that's right. This is a completely made up story. So I don't know if this makes me a better celebrant or just an idiot, to be honest.
Can I say something that jumps out to me? So the mother of the groom is the one that contacts the celebrant to arrange it all.
Yeah.
That, for me, is a red flag.
Does that mean I fail? Should I have pulled on?
No.
I'm going to fail. I already typed up like 500 words of a beautiful vows from this fake person. Okay, now, Tammy, each Tuesday we do a segment called Tech Tuesday with our tech expert, Lisa Monks from Chipmunk Media, and she's been telling us a lot about this. I'd never heard about it until talking to Lisa. Chat GPT.
Absolutely huge. When Lisa broke this on our Brekkie show, she actually came in last year with me and talked about it, and it was news very, very new around the world. I was a little bit skeptical at the start.
Yeah, same.
I did not jump on board at all, but the fact that people are talking about this, I signed up only for it yesterday. You told me to get onto it. I'm still waiting for a link. There's a wait list. Yeah. That's how popular it's become.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, it's like Google, but it's actually an AI. Like, it's an AI bot, and it actually learns and responds to you. So you can have a full conversation. So you can go to it and say, tell me about this chicken recipe that uses, I don't know, cornflakes. And then it'll go through and be like, oh, but what if I don't have this? And it'll learn from what you've... So you have a full conversation back and forth with it. My wife's terrified of it, but it's absolutely genius.
Recently, a friend of mine was applying for a job, and she created a cover letter, and then she put it into Chat GPT, and it spat out this really impressive, super-duper cover letter.
Yeah.
So people are using it. I've got a lot of friends that work in government. They're using it a lot with their organizations.
This thing is legit. It is impressive. It's kind of terrifying how impressive this bot is. But Lisa mentioned something that made me think, uh-oh, are our jobs in jeopardy? Because she said it can actually learn and give you jokes. So if you're struggling with a piece of radio content, it can actually generate something for you. And I went, oh, hold on, isn't that what we're here for? Is this computer taking our job, or is it just making our job easier? So I thought we could put it to the test, Tammy, and see if it can come up with a joke based on something that we type into it.
And this is great for me because I'm not a funny person. Like, I'm not someone that just knows jokes, remember jokes, and is good at telling or creating jokes.
Well, maybe it can help. Maybe it's useless. So let's put it to the test, shall we? So I'll go first.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. So I'm going to type, I've got ChatGPT open. I've got my account and all that sort of stuff. So I'm going to type a joke about living in Cairns and falling asleep in the cinema, which I did the other day. So this is a personal story. So I'll type it in now. Type a joke about living in Cairns and sleeping in a sinner. I just hit enter. And I've got a response, Tammy. It said, this is ChatGPT's joke. Why did the person from Cairns fall asleep in the cinema? Because they thought they were watching a movie about the Great Barrier Reef, but it turned out to be a snooze fest.
That's terrible, ChatGPT.
Have you got one? Can we try it? Let's
just say, hypothetically, I was in a forest park, a park the other day, and I may not have picked up my dog's poo.
Did you not?
Well,
no. Unacceptable.
I know. It wasn't
enough. There's leaves, even if you don't have a bag.
It wasn't enough. He did it right in the bush. I didn't have a bag.
Flick it in the bush further.
It was in the bush. He does this thing. He backs his bum up. Anyway, let's just get to the joke. Something about it. Let's make it funny. Let's make a light situation.
Okay, so you want me to write? I'll type in, type a joke about Tammy leaving a dog poo in the park.
I don't usually do that.
All right.
Mayor Bob, if you're listening.
It's got a response.
Is it good? It's good. You're laughing. It must be good. What is it?
ChatGPT's response saying, type a joke about Tammy leaving dog poo in the park. It says, I'm sorry. I cannot generate inappropriate or offensive content, including jokes about leaving dog poop in public spaces. It is important to clean up after our pets to maintain a clean and healthy environment for everyone to enjoy. I'm back on board, ChatGPT.
ChatGPT just smacked down me.
Smacked down for Tammy. Cop that. It's Cairns Triple M Brekkie with Tammy and JB. Now, Tammy, something we love on the Tammy and JB Brekkie show is opportunity that supports locals.
Absolutely.
And there is a great initiative that caught my attention the other day. And to tell us all about it, we have from Mick DeBrenny himself, the Minister for Energy, Renewables and Hydrogen, also the Minister for Public Works and Procurement. Good morning. How are you doing this morning, Mick?
Oh, it's great to join you.
Mick, big news has come over the news recently, and it's so great that we can actually get you on the show with us to share it yourself. You must be proud of this announcement.
Very, very proud. You know, Far North Queenslanders have been saying to our government, it's really hard to find a place to live at the moment. And we're seeing, you know, pressure on rents, vacancy rates are really, really tight. And so we decided we have to build more homes, but we've got to build them even faster. And so this week, you probably read in the Cairns Post that Craig Crawford, our local member up there, announced a great initiative called the Queensland Rapid Accommodation and Apprenticeships. And it's going to mean that we're able to knock off about 75% of construction times to get more homes into Far North Queensland quicker.
So this, I've seen the word rapid housing factory. How do you maintain the quality by getting these houses built so damn fast?
Well, exactly right. We're going to build these to 7-star energy efficiency. They're going to have full accessibility standards under the National Construction Code. But we'll have a factory-built method, which means no matter what the weather's doing, and I heard it's been raining up there for the last couple of months, we'll be able to keep building. And, of course, we'll build to the very highest standards and send them out. Plus, we'll do things like a bathroom module. So that's being able to factory build a bathroom module and ship it out to a construction site, flat pack kitchens as well. But the key is these factory built modular homes we can put on the back of the truck and get into regional and remote Queensland as quickly as we can. And building this new centre in Cairns means we're going to have local tradies delivering homes for locals.
Oh, I love that. Let's be honest, Mick. There's been a problem with shortages of materials and so forth. So the fact that we can have this kind of facility in our region already and hopefully enough stock that we don't have to have those delays. But like you said, there's a positive. People are going to have houses. They're going to have houses quicker. And we've also got employment coming out of it.
100%. So 39 tradies and apprentices plus 7 support staff will be on site here. We'll be pumping out homes. In fact, we have a pipeline of around 146 homes for government employees. Now, what that means is that frees up another 146 homes for people in Cairns and surrounds. So that effectively equals 292 homes. And then when you add in our pipeline of social housing at about 430, you know, we're getting up close to 600 new homes plus the 600 that we free up in the neighbourhood, all delivered by locals. Now, the great thing is about creating opportunities for local apprentices. And we've got young Samara and Kira Lee, who are school-based carpentry apprentices. They've got their first jobs are delivering houses for Queenslanders. They're really proud to be part of the team. We're so happy to have them.
Yeah. Now, what about, because a lot of tradies I know and speak to, they're struggling to find workers. So would something like this, would that make it even harder? How are you getting these tradies and apprentices when I know a lot of tradies themselves here in North Queensland are struggling to get them?
Yeah, no, it's no good for us to be pinching tradies off other builders. And so we're going to grow our own. And so our call has gone out to young people who are still in high school, like our school-based apprentices, or other people thinking about getting into work for the very first time, to come and join our team. And so we're saying to young people, if you want to get a job with QBuild, delivering this important infrastructure for Queenslanders, keep an eye out on smart jobs. We'll have a number of intakes throughout the year, and there's so much opportunity, not only in delivering these homes, but also in work in our health sector, building our schools. The sky's the limit for this. And, you know, of course, we've got Parliament up there in May. That'll be presided over by local member Curtis Pitt as well, and we'll have Michael Healy there too. Plus, you know, it's a great opportunity not only to work in this factory in Cairns, but also to deliver housing in a remote Queensland. So I know Cynthia Louie, our member up in the Torres Strait, she's very keen to see a lot of these homes go up there. And there'll be opportunities for those who are keen to be part of the QBuild Rapid Accommodation Apprenticeship Centre to spread their wings and get out into places like Thursday Island and remote Queensland too.
There you go. A new publicly owned rapid housing factory. Pretty interesting stuff. Jobs, more houses, all seems pretty good to me. The Minister for Energy, Renewables and Hydrogen, as well as the Minister for Public Works and Procurement, Mick de Brenny there. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, JB. See you later.
It's Triple M. Now, last week we were approached by the boss, Kingy. He was looking to put his foot down because myself and Leon, the promo kid, were both going head-to-head, throwing chat at each other when it come to golf. My thoughts basically was that he said he was better than I think he is, and I think they all do.
Jeez, you too.
They just carry on too much. And so Kingy said, look, mate, well, let's figure it out once and for all. You two go neck and neck in a game, see who's better, then we know where everyone stands. And I said, okay. Liam said, okay. And then we made bets, so...
The whole office got involved. I think by the end of it, we were like, we're sick of you guys sledging each other. Play your game.
Yeah, just rip the Band-Aid off.
The bets were really interesting.
So I wanted, if I was to win, to get a coffee every day delivered from Liam for 2 weeks. He wanted for me to say on air and confess and say Liam is the better golfer so he could keep that recording and, I don't know, go to sleep to it, do whatever he does
with it. He's going
to
have it on his phone, so when the phone rings, it's your voice saying you're the better golfer, you're number two in the office.
I'm not comfortable with it, but it all went down yesterday, Tammy. It all happened. It's over. It's done with. How did it go down at Half Moon Bay Golf Club?
Let's take it to the course right now so we can hear how this went down.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, down to Half Moon Bay Golf Course. A beautiful Sunday morning here for a challenge to who is the second best golfer in the Triple M Cairns office. Bossman Kingy's here. He's brought a friend and they're just drinking tea and slapping them around. The main focus is between myself and Liam. Liam, how are you feeling ahead of a big game, mate?
Quietly confident, but I know that I can turn around real quickly, given my previous history, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think both of us are really inconsistent, so we're playing Stableford rules. For those that don't know what that means, don't worry about it. We're just going to give you a score update each hole. Let's get into it. Good luck, mate.
Thanks, mate.
But hole number one completed, all even, both of us terrible. On to the next. Big moment here on the third hole. Liam, what happened, mate? What happened?
Uncharacteristically, I hit a bad shot well over the green and then struggled to get it out. So I've actually wiped that hole. So
it was stuck on a tree root for that long, and I've got a birdie. That gives me a 3-point lead. It's a huge moment in the game. I'm up by three. Next hole, I've immediately capitulated. Liam's got back 2 points. I'm still leading by just one shot. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've hit the halfway mark of the competition. Liam, 2 points up. How are you feeling, mate? It's like pretty...
I may be up, but I'm not confident. We've had some interesting shots from the both of us, so it's still anyone's game.
Yeah, I think the one thing we've figured out after 9 holes is if we're battling for second best, it says a lot about the class of golfer in our building. So on to the back 9. Who knows what'll happen, but I don't know. We're coming together. It's too friendly, so it could go either way. I'm going to go have a beer and we'll see.
Start sledging.
Will I get more friendly or will I get aggressive? We'll find out soon. All right, on to the back nine. So things are going to miss for old JB over here. So it's now out to a 5-point lead to Liam with two holes to go. It takes something really dramatic and special from here, but dramatic is what Liam is. And someone's probably said he's special at some point as well. Let's see out the rest of these holes. How are you feeling? Pretty much settled, I think.
Yeah, I'm hoping to try and get it to seven, but...
yeah, I'm going to try and get it to seven now. God, you're a tosser. All right, here we go. Let's finish this. And to round it out, Liam victorious. He took the five-shot win. A bit of a fizzler towards the end there. What are your feels of the overall game?
Look, it was certainly a spectator's game today because there was a lot of highs and lows, and there was a bit of adventures where we actually hit our balls. But it's a beautiful course, beautiful day out. So
big thanks to Half Moon Bay, and Tammy will be happy we have ended as friends. We've shook hands. We didn't have a fist fight on the 18th hole, and it's all been played in good fun. I concede defeat, and let's cross back to the studio for my official admittance of who is the better golfer.
Well, JB, the news has come out. It is time for you to deliver on your bet.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Mate, sportsmanship. We have talked about this off air.
I don't want to do it.
Why?
Because he thinks he's good. Okay. I, Justin JB Bell, confess Liam is a better golfer than me in the year 2023. And I am just the third best golfer in the Triple M building. Will that do?
Well done.
Tammy and JB.